following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the Nordstrom Mall and just above the fabulous Daniela's restaurant, where they serve the very best garlic bread when you sit down at the table. I am here in studio again this morning, but joined by a very special guest. Our director of financial planning is Christian Karcher, is with me this morning. Good morning. How
are
you doing?
Good morning, Mark. How are you? I'm doing great. Got my coffee in me and I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, I understand. We've got a, you've picked out the topic for this week, right?
I sure have.
And
yes.
All right, so because finally I don't have to do this all alone on a Sunday, so I appreciate that. Your topic that you found is called 15 Personal Finance Lessons We Can All Learn from the Year of COVID-19. Now, I don't know if you wrote these. I think you probably took some of these.
No, this is from the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. So, but you're going to elaborate on them because right. There's a lot of financial lessons we can all learn here.
There absolutely are. And it's now been a little bit more than a year. It's been over a year and a half now since that pandemic started. And I think we're all kind of still in awe of how much our lives have changed and how much has changed in the world in the last year and a half. And translating how that impacts our financial lives and how we plan for the future.
Well, before we get into some of these financial lessons, tell me, how's your life changed since COVID?
Well, I got married. I adopted another cat. And I learned how to use Zoom like many of us. And otherwise, I'm a homebody. So I was very thrilled with getting to spend a lot of time hanging around in my apartment. But now I'm excited to get back out.
Here, I noticed on many of the Zoom calls that what the office would have is that the cat would be climbing over the keyboard, climbing all over the place.
Right. He's a great coworker, but he's a little bit distracted.
Yeah.
Kind of like you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what they say here at the office, that I can be very distracting. But we're going to try not to distract you today here on the radio, not you, Christian, or not our listeners, because we've got some financial advice in a language people can understand. And that's really what we focus on here at Friedman Financial, whether you're listening to the show or whether you're a client of the office or whether you're even considering being a client of the office. We want to make sure that you're getting the advice that you need so you can make informed decisions each and every day when it comes to money issues. And it always amazes me how many people make financial decisions based upon hearsay or what their neighbors or relatives think. I mean, do you find that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything from, it's great that we have the internet and we can look up whatever information we want. I can pull up a Wall Street Journal article on my phone while I'm walking between my car and the front door. But, you know, it's also scary to be able to say, okay, so what if... Are people really informing their financial life decisions around a 250-word article that they saw on money.com this week?
Well, you're assuming that they've actually read the 250 words.
Instead of just the headline.
Usually it's a 14-word article because all they do is read the headline and they make tremendous assumptions based upon what's in the headline.
Well, yeah. I mean, why spend all the time reading the rest of it when the headline is supposed to summarize the whole thing
well,
for you?
And I know I joke with you, but, you know, you're of the millennial generation, right? And and you don't even have regular TV at home, do you?
No, I do not.
Yeah. And so, like I say to you, so where do you get your news?
I get my news from the internet. Yeah, absolutely. Admittedly, a lot of
I think that's hilarious.
Well, so a lot of it is articles from other news sources that are all kind of congregated on the internet. Now, what algorithm is deciding what articles I read is a whole nother question. But
I look at it that, I mean, granted, I'm 55 years old, and there's two things that I watch live on television. That is the news and sporting events. Because I hate to see a sporting event after I already know what the score is going to be.
So I'm the same way.
That's no fun.
The only thing tethering me to any sort of cable package whatsoever.
Right. But besides that, I mean, all the TV shows that I watch, whether it's on Netflix or even ABC, I don't care what time it runs. I don't even know what time it's on live because everything's DVR'd or...
Right.
I guess TiVo'd is...
Well, I still remember when I was growing up and very young and everyone would... What was it, Thursday night, and Friends was on, and it was just...
It's called must-see TV.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what it's called, but I remember that slightly.
Well, it started much before Friends, you know. It used to be The Cosby Show, which generally people don't even talk about these days because of what's going on with Bill Cosby, but that's where it started, with The Huxtables, 8 o'clock. And then it was The Huxtables, there was The Cosby Show, then there was Cheers, but I think Cheers was on at 9. There was something on at 8:30 that was usually like the filler. Then Frasier would come on at 9:30, and then there was like ER or LA Law, which would come on at Thursday nights. You don't remember any of that stuff, do you?
No.
No, but I bet our listeners, if I mentioned, what did you do years ago on Saturday night? What shows were on at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock on Saturday night if you wanted to watch TV? Do you know what the answers are to that question?
No.
No. See, at 9 o'clock, it was The Love Boat.
Mm.
And at 10 o'clock was Fantasy Island. You don't remember either of those shows either?
Nope.
Okay, so, well, you know, we are trying to... So I'm either connecting with our listeners or boring them to death.
You're connecting with the listeners, I'm sure. I'm sure there aren't many in the 25 age demographic on a Sunday morning.
Probably not. No, because they're streaming.
I apologize.
Probably streaming.
Right, right. They're radio, listening to the podcast on the Apple podcast
app. That's right. That's right.
Days later.
And you can stream our show anytime you want, either... on your Apple podcast, on any of your local streaming services, or you can just go to the North Shore 104.9 app, look up podcasts, and I think every Tuesday following this show, you can get a repeat of this show and all of the historical ones as well. But what we want to try to do, we've got at the hour today to try to get through these 15 personal financial lessons we can all learn from the year of COVID-19. And Christian, you're the one that picked out this article. You're the one that's got the topic. So I'll leave it to you to run this thing. What do you think is the first lesson we can learn?
All right. Well, so we're not going to hit all 15. I'm going to pull out my favorite parts.
All right, that's fair enough.
But I think the most important thing, and this is something that we start off all of our financial plans with, and that is... financial planning is a liquid event. It is constantly moving, and it constantly needs to be changed and updated. And that's not just because you might have an extra grandkid that you didn't think you were going to have, or you decide...
Wait a second. You might have an extra grandkid. How?
Well,
you didn't think you were going to have, or...
Right. Maybe.
This is what's called live radio, when we kind of catch each other and saying... things. Well, it can be interpreted a number of ways, but you know.
Sure, sure. But maybe your child didn't want three kids, but ended up having three instead of two.
I get it.
Either way.
Yep.
But one of those things that constantly happens is external forces that you can't control. And in the case of COVID-19, we had a huge external force that dramatically impacted all areas of financial planning without any sort of notice or forewarning. And it's something that has made us in this office have to redraw a lot of financial plans. A lot of people over the last year and a half haven't had to spend as much money as they had previously because they were wrapped up in the home for 6 months. So all of these pieces change a financial plan. On top of that, we had all sorts of legislation that changed how people are doing financial planning. A lot of people last year didn't have to take their required minimum distributions if they're over.
But they do this year, right?
They do this year. That's right. The most important. We've run into a lot of people who said, well, I don't want to take it this year. Well, that's too bad. It's still required for 2021.
And when we say required minimum distribution, just for our listeners, we have to go on the assumption that many people don't even understand what we're talking about. When we say a term like required minimum distribution, perhaps you can help our listeners understand what you're talking about.
So when you have your retirement accounts, you have an IRA, and you've been saving into it your whole life, and you've been getting a nice little tax benefit because you don't pay taxes when you put money into that each year. Once you get to age 72, the U.S. government says, okay, you got to start taking the money out now, and you have to start paying taxes on that money. And so the required minimum distribution is the amount that the federal government tells you you must take each year after age 72. It starts off as a smaller percentage, about 4-ish percent, and it starts to kind of go up as you reach closer to your life expectancy.
Whichever that might be.
Whatever that might be.
You know, and it's, I think life expectancy is one of those things that when we talk to our clients today, we ask them, you know, what do you think your life expectancy is going to be? And they'll generally look back and they'll say, well, my mom lived to 84, my father lived to 96 or whatever. So probably somewhere in the middle is that's what they assume. And I think what we're seeing right now is using the historical dates of death of parents and even grandparents is probably not a good figure to use when thinking about your own life expectancy. In fact, when we're building financial plans for our clients, how long do we generally go out for?
So we go out to age 100.
100? I'm never going to live that long.
Oh, you're definitely going to live that long. And, and in fact, I think that there's a reasonable point to be made that you could, for some of the younger people, potentially push that out even further.
Maybe I would
110,
agree.
110, 105. Just because, we've had clients hit 109 since mm-hmm. I've been here in the last 4 years. We've got quite a few that were in the hundreds, and it seems like more and more you see people reaching those kind of ages. So.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard figures that say people born today could have an average life expectancy of 110 or 120 years old. And I don't think that's unreasonable. Some people might think, well, that's insane. Well, think about this. In 1935, when the Social Security Administration, when President Roosevelt issued what was called the New Deal, mm-hmm. and they structured Social Security, that was going to people who turned age 65, they'd be able to start collecting Social Security benefits. Well, guess what the life expectancy was of individuals in 1935? Average life expectancy was 65 years old. And so, you know, I can understand why people will say we want to have some changes to the Social Security structure because it's a bit antiquated. Though, I mean, we're not about to make any changes just yet, but that could happen in the future. But I continue to go off track here.
Of course.
Because
of
we
course.
Will never get to the important topic that you decided for us to talk about today, which was lessons we can all learn, financial lessons we can all learn from the year following COVID-19. So what's the first lesson we could learn, Christian?
So on top of that, that it's uncertain. Things happen. Things come up. People need to make sure that they're planning for emergencies. A lot of people will kind of keep going along their lives expecting things to continue to go. You know, I've got this great job. I've been doing really well. I keep getting my annual raises. Things are going well in the office. I expect to stay here for another 40 years. Well, I think COVID-19 put a damper in a lot of people's plans and said, you know, your job isn't as secure as you might think it is, particularly in certain industries. Something like a pandemic can come up and completely shut down an industry. You could be doing the greatest job ever as a bartender or as a server or as a restaurant manager, but if the restaurant is closed for some external reason, that still impacts you.
Yeah.
And so making sure that you are prepared for an emergency where you might lose your income and have to draw on money that you've saved in the bank is very important. So that's one of the first things we always talk about with a financial plan is making sure.
So if you're protecting yourself for an emergency, the thing that you should not planning on is like, well, if I run into a tough situation, I know the government will step up and provide me with unemployment and extra insurance checks and just take care of me, right?
Despite the evidence from the last year and a half, it's probably best to plan on no government support and then be pleasantly surprised if you get some.
I think that would be a much smarter approach. So what are you suggesting for an emergency fund? What should people have available?
Right. And I know this is super painful for people when they see the interest rate that they get on the bank and they're seeing it go, oh, it's 0.01 this month. At least I got a penny. Really, we tell people that they should keep between 3 and 6 months of living expenses in the bank at any time. And now how you determine what your living expenses are is a whole nother topic. But, you know, a good way of, I mean, if you're just guesstimating and you don't want to actually look at how much you're spending, look at your current income and say, okay, I bring into the house $1,000 every month. Maybe $2,000 every month. Let's make sure that we have $6,000 to $12,000 in the bank or $4,000, you know. So that's one good way of looking at it and making sure you have those assets that are available to you.
Yeah, it's important. That emergency fund is critical. And we find that many people start to think, especially with investment accounts doing so well these days, thinking, well, my investment account is my emergency fund. And generally, that's not a good strategy, is it?
No, absolutely not. Particularly with the volatility, you know, in the sometimes the market pulls back 10%, and people in the last year have been a little bit surprised because we've seen this just incredible recovery in the economy, and the market seems to just go up month after month. But you know, when you have a month where the market dips a little bit, people are all of a sudden surprised. Well, that's something that happens, and I mean, you would expect historically about every year to see a drawdown from the top to the bottom of the market of at least 10%, and sometimes even more. So that is not where you want to be keeping money for when things go wrong. Particularly if you look back March of last year, if you were banking on your investments to cover you if you got laid off because of a pandemic, it didn't turn out very well for you.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's what you're providing, Christian, and what we talk about here on the radio is what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. We will and take a quick break, but before we go, I want to remind everybody about our free weekly newsletter that we publish every single Friday. We've been putting it out since March of 2009, so a long, long time, close to 600 continuous issues of this newsletter. If you'd like to get planning pointers, you need to go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and you will start getting our newsletter this Friday at 10:30. But for now, go grab a fresh cup of coffee. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents. Sponsored by Friedman Financial. This is Christian Karcher, your co-host for the day. Mark is having me practice my intro, so I'm hoping that I hit all the points right. We provide financial advice in a language you can understand each Sunday here on North Shore 104.9. We are from Friedman Financial. We're a financial planning office here on the North Shore area, located just above Daniela's restaurant on Cross Street in Peabody, right across from the Macy's parking lot. So if you want to visit us, that's where we're located. But today we are talking about some of the lessons we've learned in the pandemic about financial planning and what we can really take away from what we've learned over the last year and a half.
Well, thanks. I'm here, too, on the other end of the microphone. Christian, nice job bringing us back in from the last segment. I'll just introduce myself, I guess. My name is...
Did I not introduce you?
He did not. He said
I was a co-host.
You were a co-host, so, but he didn't even mention that I was here in the room, but I am here. It was nice to have us both here in the room, so thank you, Christian. Nice job with the intro. And Christian Karcher is our Director of Financial Planning. It was his first time doing the little intro into the radio show, and we're going to have him keep trying more and more, because I'd love for you to do some of these radio shows all by yourself at some point.
Sure. I think I got a nice 4 out of 10 there.
I think I'll take 44. 4 out of 10 is not bad for a baseball average, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll win an MVP with that.
You absolutely will. So welcome, everybody. Like I said, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. And we are here providing some financial lessons that we can all learn from the year of COVID-19. We're heading towards the end of the year, of course. It's important for us to understand what some of those lessons are so that we continue to make smart decisions with our money. Because, folks, in order to be successful over the long term when it comes to financial planning, it's not about picking the right investment. Don't let anybody lead you to believe that success comes from picking the proper investment or two, or knowing when to get in and knowing when to get out. Honestly, a lot of that has to do with luck. It really does. but you need a plan. You need something that's a bit more thoughtful, that extends far beyond what mutual fund or stock or index fund or bond or whatever it is that you might own. So we want to give you those pieces of financial advice in a language you can understand. Christian, in the earlier segment, you talked about the emergency fund and how important that was. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other pieces of advice you might offer?
Well, so I think another thing that's really important is to have a complete financial plan for when things go wrong. So even if your financial plan has been completely dashed because of back in March, because the stock market got cut in the third, having something else to focus on in the financial space to track how you're doing, what your goals are, what your progress is, can really help you distract from the fact that, oh my goodness, look at my statement, it's down another 10% today. You know, having something to look at to say, you know, I'm aware that this was going to happen. I still have this plan. This is my allocation. I think this will help me meet my goals and my retirement income in the future. Having all of those pieces to focus on instead of just focusing on the investments in those rough times is really valuable, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. It extends far beyond the investments, because one of the things that we put together in our financial plans for every single one of our clients is the answer to the question that everybody wants to know, will I run out of money? Everybody wants to know the answer to that question. And we put together a really thorough cash flow analysis, though it can't be completely accurate because nobody knows what the direction of the market's going to be, what life might present it to you. And so we can also run a variety of what-if scenarios. But maybe you can talk to us about what goes into the components of one of our cash flow analyses. What is it that people can see from that? And even when the markets are down, what can our clients feel comfortable about when they look at our cash flow analysis?
Sure. So I think the one thing that they can feel comfortable with is knowing that there's a plan in place. So what we do when we are creating these cash flow analysis is we take a look at and we say, okay, how much, let's just break it down into its components. How much do we need to spend in retirement to meet your living expenses? That's number one, making sure we understand how much your mortgage costs, how much insurance costs, all of those items. And then also adding on additional expenses that might come up, making sure that we're budgeting money for big healthcare expenses. You know, early on in retirement, a lot of people are quite healthy and their medical expenses essentially come down to paying their Medicare costs, their Medicare premiums, Part B, Part A. And then they might have some out-of-pocket costs. But later on, making sure that we're budgeting enough in those expense numbers and those projections to say, you know, what happens if I have to spend a little bit more because I need some dental work done? Dental work is something that creeps up on our clients very frequently, and it can get costly. And making sure that we have a budget for those type of items that come in.
Yeah, root canals don't come with a coupon, do they?
No, well, unless you know a different dentist than I do, they do not.
They don't come with coupons. You know, bridge work and, you know, root canals and all that kind of stuff, that happens as we get older. And you're right, those are some of those surprise expenses that come up. But I think one of the things that's really nice about our cash flow analysis is when we're projecting out for our clients on whether you'll run out of money or not, mm-hmm. we're taking a look at all of the components and all of the pieces, all of the cash flows that you're expecting, whether it's Social Security, pension, maybe it's part-time income, maybe it's money you might get from an inheritance, maybe it's ongoing income that you get from a relative or whatever it might be, and then adding that to the amount of money that you've already put aside for your future and drawing some kind of an income from that. What oftentimes surprises people when they look at our cash flow analysis is, first of all, they underestimate how much they really spend.
Absolutely.
That
yes.
That comes out of, they said, I probably spend around $5,000 or $6,000 a month, when in reality it could be $8,000 to $11,000, and we prove that to them. Mm-hmm. But secondarily, we often find with many clients, not all, that the amount of money that they're, if they continue to spend the kind of money that they're spending right now in retirement, they're going to leave far more money to the next generation than they ever imagined. So now they're faced with a big dilemma, aren't they?
Yeah, well, and that's one of the cool things that we do. And that's the best case scenario, right?
Right.
You see their little graph of their assets and it just continues to grow even though they're drawing money on it. But that does come with its own set of problems, if you want to say problems, because, you know, you start coming up with the question of what am I going to do with all this money? Do I really want to leave my children if I make it to age 100? Think about this. How old will your kids be when you are age 100?
My kids will probably be in their, I don't know, 70s probably, right?
Right. So they'll already be retired.
Mm-hmm.
is that really when you want to be giving your money to your kids? Or do you want to start looking at, okay, what if we take a nice family vacation and maybe we can actually get everyone to agree on a weekend, right? And
well, by the time my kids are 70, I hope that they have got enough time that we can all agree on something. But well, maybe we want to do that when they're younger, right? The grandkids, right? Well, they got to work, you know.
That is how it goes.
You're right. It's finding the time to do this stuff. But I think one of the things that we've learned, I mean, I've been at this 30 years. You've been at this about 5 years or so now. Clients and their children, the children and the grandchildren, what they cherish more than anything else is experiences. Experiences, because we just don't have that opportunity. And you know, frankly, with the past couple of years being locked down because of COVID, right, and having to deal with Zoom technology or whatever, the opportunity to gather at Disney World or at a nice resort in the Caribbean, or even just a trip to New York City, or, you know, a day out in the boat on a lake with the family is something that is very cherished. And if you've got to spend a little bit of money on that stuff, that to me is a good investment in the stories and the memories of the family.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So going back to kind of some of the lessons we've learned and kind of going off of that the whole discussion about what are you going to do with the money is making sure that your estate plan is up to date. Now, this is probably a little bit on the morbid side, but, you know, the pandemic, a lot of people have passed away due to this pandemic, and a huge number of them do not have proper estate planning documents in place. So what are some of those documents, Mark?
Well, even before we get to the documents, I think one of the things that we've learned is that many people who even had those documents in place, they didn't understand how those documents would actually work. Mm. And one of the things that we have found out is many people who figure, I have a will, that will take care of everything. And what many people realize after a loved one has passed away is that the will really doesn't come into play at all in many cases if your financial plan is structured properly. And that's because any asset that you own, whether it's a bank account, an IRA, an insurance policy, an annuity, a piece of real estate, what a retirement account, whatever it is, if there is a beneficiary that is designated for that account, a document that says, not in your will, but a document on that registration of the asset that says, I want to leave my money to my spouse or my children or my dog or my church or whatever it is, that's who's going to get it. Not what the will says, that's who's going to get it. I see so many people who spend hours, days, years agonizing on how they're going to leave their money in their will. $5,000 to this charity, $2,000 to that charity, $3,000 to this niece, $4,000 to the waiter that was really friendly to me at the hardcover.
Well, they get as much as the niece.
Right, but sometimes it isn't logical. But what ends up happening is all of those people listed in the will, they oftentimes don't get anything. Because there's really nothing that actually makes it to the part where the will needs to even be examined.
Absolutely.
And so that's a challenge. So some important estate planning documents you were asking me. One of them is, of course, you do need a will. A will is what I call the street sweeper. The street sweeper that comes through the parade after the parade is all done, and it takes care of all of the loose ends, all of the crap that's left behind, all of the trash, all of the balloon fragments and everything like that that has to get picked up and finally has to get taken care of. That's what the will is really doing for you. Now, granted, the will also names who's the executor of your estate, who might be the guardian of your children, it'll that stuff. But when it comes to assets, you generally want to take care of the beneficiaries on your own. But a couple other documents. Number one is what's called a healthcare proxy. And that healthcare proxy says what, who can act on your behalf if you become ill of health or incapacitated. Now, someone will hear about this thing called the living will or the, the document, I can't remember the name of it. End of life instructions or who's going to pull the plug.
Right.
That document. You also have a power of attorney that says if I'm unable and I'm not available to, the medical directive, by the way, is what I was looking for on pulling plug. But the thing that pops up when you might be traveling and all of a sudden there's an activity that has to be closed. You maybe need to close on a house or sign on something and you're not available. The power of attorney allows for somebody else to whom you trust to sign on your behalf. Do you have to offer full power of attorney and full range of ability to them? No, you can do a general power of attorney or a limited power of attorney. You want to have a homestead on your home. That means that people can't go after your home if you have to move out. All sorts of estate planning documents. Now, we are not expert in that. We do not write those documents. We can refer you to estate planning attorneys who are expert at it, making sure that the documents and your wishes are fulfilled properly. But understand, taking care of your estate before you reach end-of-life issues is so incredibly important. And lastly, and I was talking to somebody about this this past week, if you know that life is coming potentially to an end, not that it's going to, but you know that you're facing some challenges, a couple things you might want to do is A, prepay your funeral cost, but even more so, visit the funeral home. Prepay for some of the stuff that you want, because one of the most agonizing things that we can do is after a loved one passes away, 24 to 36 hours, you're visiting a funeral home. And the last thing you want to do is be in a room surrounded by a bunch of coffins or surrounded by a bunch of cremation urns and have to decide which one am I going to pick. And I assure you, there's not signs on there that says buy one, get one free. There's no clearance signs. There's no sale racks. You are vulnerable. And the funeral director, as much as they want to guide you and help you, it's an expensive endeavor, and you should be making sound decisions, not emotional decisions. I encourage you to do that beforehand. Well, that kind of drops us on a somber note, does it? Because
it does.
Yeah. So we're up against the clock again. We've got to take a quick break. But when we're back, I know Christian has more lessons we can all learn from the year of COVID-19. I want to remind you once again about our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday, 10:30 in the morning, drops into your email box, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, name and email address, and we will get you on that newsletter. We're going to take another quick break. When we're back, more financial advice in a language you can understand with Christian Karcher and Mark Friedman. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, and at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Money, 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 money. From that money machine.
Good morning and welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. My name is Christian Karcher. I am here with Mark Friedman, and we are doing the radio show this morning. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's another show, Dollars and Cents, 8 to 9 a.m. each and every Sunday morning. Nice to have you joining us. Christian is learning a little bit about trying to co-host with me and maybe potentially take over some of these shows periodically. We'd like you to do that because I don't have to get up so early in the morning.
I don't know if anyone wants to just hear me talk about Wisconsin sports for an entire morning.
Well, you could do that too, couldn't you?
Yeah, oh, I could easily do that.
Yeah, I know.
I might need 2 hours for the show.
Oh God, does anybody actually watch college football here in the North Shore area?
No, not really, but I do.
I know you do. I know you do. You're a big Badgers fan, right? That's what they're called in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that is what they are called in Wisconsin.
Yeah, see, I'm learning a little bit. I'm learning a little bit because when we went to your wedding this past summer, you had the Badgers marching band or the pep band come in.
That's right. It was about 10 members of the marching band. They came on in. They played a bunch of songs that a bunch of Wisconsin people would know and you guys probably weren't
had no idea.
So familiar with. Unfortunately, Bucky couldn't make it. That was going to be a big show is going to be Bucky Badger. Buckingham Ulysses Badger, his full name, was going to make it to the event. Unfortunately, due to COVID, he could not attend.
So what's the difference between a badger and a beaver? Any idea?
Oh, a big difference. Oh, so a badger is...
I figured I was going to stump you on that.
A badger is a mustelid, and they're mustelid family. They're along with wolverines and otters. A beaver is... I think a beaver is a rodent, so very different.
I can't believe you actually had an answer.
Beavers are
right
aquatic. There. Badgers live in holes in the ground. So big difference, big difference.
Wow. All right. Well, there's a big difference in the way people are making some financial decisions these days, especially coming out of COVID. And I know you wanted to share some lessons with our listeners. We talked about the emergency fund earlier today. We talked about getting your financial house in order by getting your estate planning documents lined up. Some lessons that people found, unfortunately, the hard way when perhaps a loved one either got ill or, even worse, passed away, and they realized that some of those estate planning documents weren't lined up as properly as they should. I know that when I've gone to the doctor lately, they've asked if my healthcare proxy has been downloaded to the portal or uploaded to the portal. They want to see that it is available in case someone needs to check it out or rely on it. I thought that was kind of interesting. So, you know, I've got the My Leahy Health app, and I'm sure there's all sorts of apps that are out there right now and all sorts of programs. But if you have your healthcare proxy, you should upload it to your primary care physician, to your medical professional, so that they have that on record. But I know you've got some advice, some financial advice that's a little bit more uplifting than talking about death.
Well, let's hope
that's what we kind of talked about in the last segment. So let's make things a little bit better, Christian.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, sitting here a year and a half from the start of COVID, it's kind of hard to look back and remember the emotions and what people were saying and what people were thinking back in March and April of last year. And if you could kind of just take yourself back in a time machine, you heard a lot of, this is the end, it's a disaster, this time is different, it's never returning, the economy is going to be ruined forever, we're going back to the Stone Age. These are the fears that you have, and they come up every time there is a major economic catastrophe or depression or recession. And it's something that we saw back in 08 and 09, something you saw to a lesser extent in the early 2000s. And it's something that we've learned in the financial planning profession is that despite what everyone says, despite the fact that everyone says this time is different, and they can point to, you know, well, last time there wasn't a pandemic, last time the banks weren't as bad as they are now, last time we didn't have these weird tech stocks doing all sorts of weird things. You can always point to something that is different. But in the end, even though small things are different, we have continually seen that the economy continues to grow. People love spending money. People love having things. And that has been what has been able to propel our financial system and our economy into the future, and how we have been able to continue to see growth going forward.
Yeah, think about it. I mean, when we ran into COVID-19, how many people had been talking about the Spanish flu of 100 years ago prior to that? We probably didn't even think about it. But there was a Spanish flu. And I'm sure people probably thought at the time, well, this time is different. Mm-hmm. How will we get out of this? Will I, you know, will we be able to have children? Will our families multiply? What will end up happening? And then following that, we had the Great Depression, the stock market crash of the late 20s. Then we had World War I. And then we had World War II. And each... World War I came first before World War II.
Right, yeah, but before the Great Depression as well.
All right, well, he's getting me... All right, you're getting me on my chronology there. But each of those historical events, people were saying to themselves, this time it's different. This time it's different, we'll never get out of it. And whether it was World War II, whether it was the Vietnam War, whether it was the oil embargo crisis, whether it was the financial crisis of 2008-2009, the terrorist attacks of 2001, 9/11, whether it's the pandemic, every time there's these instances where people say, this time it's different. And what has happened every single time?
Every single time, the market, the economy has recovered. You know, it was really difficult when you look back at some of the articles that were written, you know, those 12-word articles that you were talking about, those headlines.
That all people read. People just read the headlines. They don't read the article, right?
From back in June of last year, you know, people were saying, well, the market's recovering. The market can't recover. We've got 30% unemployment. How in the world is the market recovering? And the market was saying, you know what? We think eventually just as a collective, people buying stocks were saying, eventually we're going to get out of this. Eventually we're going to come up with something to continue to operate as an economy, as a world system, as people. And everyone, you know, a lot of those articles said, how is this even possible? This time is totally different. We're going to see another crash. And the markets have never tested back the lows of that March timeframe.
No, they really haven't. And the when you think about Time Magazine, there used to be this piece that people would put together, this chronology of Time Magazine cover photos about, you know, market plummets, market soars, market's diving, president is doing well, president is doing poorly, we'll never make it, we will make it. All these different things would go up and down and up and down. And people began to react to these weekly cover stories on Time Magazine. And we have to stop doing that. We have to stop reacting not only to the weekly covers of Time Magazine, which who even reads Time Magazine? I don't even know if they publish Time Magazine anymore.
I think they publish it.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that gets it. But now we're reacting to moment by moment sound bites that appear on our news feeds, on our notifications, and we react to everything. And we have to stop that. When we think about investing, are we investing for the short term or the long term? Well, everyone says, I'm investing for the long term. Then why is it that we feel a need to have to make a change when some company announces bad news, or the government decides that there's going to be a tax increase, or that oil prices are going up, or the cost of wood is going down? Why do we make those changes?
Well, I think people make the changes because they want to feel some sense of control over this topic. But what we often will tell people in our office is when things are going down, there are some changes that can be made. And they're not the changes that people ever want to do. And that is to rebalance your account. So in an investment account, you know, you might have 60% of the money is in stocks and 30% of it is in bonds. And so when the market goes down, the stocks will drop. And the bonds might drop a little bit, or they might go up, or they'll stay more.
They may not react in the same way. Bonds will not react in the same exact way than stocks will, in most cases.
So if there's a big change in those in the market's returns over a short period of time, like we saw in March, the amount of your stocks might go from 60% of your portfolio to 50% because the bonds continued to grow, but the stocks fell. And so what we say in our office, if someone called us and said, you know, I want to get out. I'm scared about the pandemic. This time is different, as we talked about, and we need to make a change. Our recommendation would generally be, you know, if we're going to make any change right now, it will be to rebalance our account back to that 60-40. We'll sell some of the bonds. We'll buy even more stocks, and we'll get back to that 60-40 allocation. And then when we see growth over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, we'll really make up for it because we have got that extra little bit in the stock
market. Yeah, so one of the lessons that maybe people will see, I mean, if you've looked at the third quarter statements from 2021, we started to receive calls from folks that said, geez, my account hasn't done so well. It was doing so well for the year, but it hasn't done so well for the quarter. Well, the S&P 500 was up somewhere around, I think we talked about this in an earlier show, was up around 17%. Even with it being flat in the third quarter of 2021. Now, not all of our clients' money is in the S&P 500. They're well-diversified portfolios. But one of the things that was really interesting for the past couple of years, and even prior to COVID, we always talk about value stocks and growth stocks. Mm. And growth stock, and there's large, medium, and small value. But let's just stick with the large growth and the large value stocks right now. Large growth stocks, when they make money, they generally want to take their profits and reinvest it into new and improved and enhancing systems and evolving and making everything better. A value company is generally one that might pay a dividend. They're pretty much a more of a stable company. They don't really evolve that much. I mean, how much does a bank have to change? How much does a gas company have to change? A utility company, a Caterpillar, one of these large heavy machines. I mean, how much have you seen a crane change in its look, you know, in the past 30 years? And so over the past several years, growth stocks have just done extraordinary, especially during COVID. Stocks like that we hadn't even known about before, things like Peloton and Zoom and some of these others, but not to mention Google and Tesla and all these others that did really well. But people then took their eye off the ball and they began to forget that the value companies, the value stocks that they owned, they weren't doing so well. So some people started selling those value stocks and saying, I got to buy more growth type stocks. Well, one of the things that we've learned over the past 3 to 5 months or so is that the value stocks have far outperformed the growth stocks. And it's because we took the disciplined approach to rebalance. We took some money out of growth as it was doing well, added it to our value stocks so that they could do well. And that's what you want us to do. You want us, you need to, if you're doing it on your own, to be rational during emotional times and rebalance.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're up against the clock again. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to share some more financial advice in a language you can understand. Christian's got a couple other ideas to share with you, some lessons that we can learn from the year of COVID-19. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. With all that's gone on over the past couple years, perhaps retirement is sounding pretty good. But how can you focus on the future when you're so busy juggling the day-to-day? It's time for a real plan, a plan you can define, a plan you can track, and a plan you can modify as things change. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do. We know that planning for your retirement can be overwhelming, but with more than 50 years of experience, we know what you're going through. We're experienced and we're fiduciaries. We listen and we collaborate with your best interests in mind. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Turn to us for answers to your why, how, and what if questions. If now is the time to get serious about your retirement, please give us a call. We're Friedman Financial of Peabody. Financial advice in a language you can understand.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Friedman Financial is a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents here on 104.9 The North Shore. This is Christian Karcher. I'm here with Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial. He is the president and CEO of Friedman Financial. I am the director of financial planning, and we're here to give you financial advice in a language you can understand. We've been kind of talking through some of these personal finance lessons that we've learned over the last year and a half with COVID, and Mark, welcome.
Well, thanks, Christian. It's been an interesting year, and I think it's fascinating how I think we've become somewhat complacent when it comes to our money and coming to investing. I mean, people got irked a little bit when they saw their third quarter statement and they realized, oh my goodness, I didn't make so much money. In fact, my account might have gone down. You know, accounts go down. Investment accounts go up and down, but we try to pull back the curtain a little bit deeper with our clients. We want to focus on more than just the investment account. We've got to focus on the total net worth, all of their worth. I mean, what everything is worth in their portfolio. And when we do that, when we showcase to our clients what their net worth is and how that's grown and changed over the years, that's an incredibly eye-opening experience to them. They forget about what they were getting paid 10 years ago or what they thought they could save or what they thought they'd spend. Things change, and it's a wonderful learning experience, especially when you have a financial advisor who can guide you along the way, a financial planner who can showcase not necessarily what your investment account is doing, of course you're going to see that, but how all of it fits together and how you can have confidence as you head towards retirement, or if you're in retirement, feel good about how long the money will last. And in many cases, if you're doing this properly, you have peace of mind. And I'm not probably supposed to say peace of mind on the radio here.
Nope.
But I apologize for saying that. But you can help yourself feel a bit more confident that there's structure in place, that there's a plan in place, that there are people here to guide you a bit so that you can start to think about your future with a level of confidence.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, I love being part of this radio show. I love being able to share financial advice in a language you can understand. And Christian, it's great having you be part of the show today. And I want you to share some of the pieces of advice that you wanted to deliver to our clients. And what are some of these other lessons that we've learned this past year from COVID-19?
Sure. I'm going to talk about a somewhat abstract concept, and that is keeping your money in multiple different places. So a lot of clients will, or people in general, you know, you've got retirement accounts. You have bank accounts, that emergency fund that we talked about in the first segment. You might have other investment accounts. You might have a Roth IRA or an IRA or a 401k or an annuity or whatever. But it's very important to have money in multiple different places. So one of the things we saw during the pandemic was the government said for people who are taking required minimum distributions, which we talked a little bit about in one of the earlier segments, but taking those distributions that they require you to take from your IRA after age 72, they said you don't need to take those anymore. Well, for a lot of clients and a lot of people out there, the only money that they have saved at age 72 is maybe a little bit of money in the bank and also their retirement account. So when that law got passed, they might not have benefited from it because they might have still needed to take money from their IRA and still pay the taxes because they needed that money to live on and to spend. So one of the things we often talk about with people as they're in their accumulating phase and even as they're transitioning into retirement is to make sure that you have money in a few different places that can be tapped that all have different tax treatments. So if you have an IRA, the money that comes out of that, you have to pay income tax on. That is earned income to you. Not earned, but it is taxable as income. Money in your bank account, well, that money you can just spend whenever you would like. If you have some money in a Roth IRA, that's really helpful. So a Roth IRA is money that you put in, you've already paid tax on it, and you can take anything out of that account and not pay tax on those distributions. And by taking a look at your entire situation, and you might say, you know, we need $20,000 from our retirement accounts to make it through the year and meet all of our expenses. Well, if you've got a good financial planner, or if you can sit down and really look at the numbers and look at your tax situation, we can determine, okay, what's the best place to pull this money from? How much can we pull from the IRA but still stay under a certain tax bracket? Maybe you take half of it from the IRA and half of it from the Roth IRA, and because you're doing that, you're actually staying below a certain tax rate. So you might not pay 22% in your taxes. Now you might be paying a little bit less. Mm-hmm. So that's another very important thing that we talk about and that really came to light because of those rules that they changed with the RMD last year.
So, you know, you hear the term asset allocation a lot. But one of the things that we talk about in our office is what's called asset location, which is where are your assets located? Now, I'm not saying that they need to be with four or five different brokerage firms. You know, you don't need to put money at Fidelity and Vanguard and LPL and Ameriprise and all these other places. You can find one good brokerage company to do all of that for you. But having accounts that are a joint account, a trust account, an IRA account, a Roth account, an annuity perhaps, or an insurance policy, or whatever it is that works for your situation, having all of those different types of accounts that all have different types of tax structures so that when it's time to pull money out, we can be a bit more strategic on where the dollars come from, that makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
And that's really something we focus on. But one of the things that I find interesting, just this past week, I had a guy come into the office and he said to me, Mark, I'm ready to retire. I'm going to retire at the end of the year. And so I said to him, I said, all right, great. What does retirement mean to you? And he says, what do you mean? I said, well, when you retire on January 1st, does that mean you're not working? We're just going to collect Social Security and you're going to draw money from your assets? He says, oh, absolutely not. I said, so I'll ask again, what does retirement mean to you? He says, I'm just not going to work as many hours as I've been working before. So how many hours might you work? Oh, maybe just half. So he's been working a 40 or 50 hour a week job, and now he's going to do 20 hours a week, and he can do that. Well, think about when someone asks you, what does retirement mean to you? Does it mean I'm done working for good, I'm going to hop on the Lido deck on the Love Boat and throw the champagne and the confetti off to my guests, get a gold watch at my retirement party, and then hop on a rocking chair and sip lemonade for the rest of my life? For some, that's what it's all about. But what does retirement look like to you? The vision of retirement is sometimes shared in these financial commercials with a couple strolling along the beach, right? They're sitting, yes. It's retirement, or hitting a golf ball. But there's more to retirement than walking miles and miles and miles and miles of seashore, or walking or even karting on an 18-hole golf course. What else are you going to do?
Does it mean never working again? If it does, that's all fine, but that's all got to be part of the plan. And that's when we start to sit down and we say, what does retirement mean to you? How much do you think you might need? Does it make sense to start taking Social Security if you're going to continue to work, even on a part-time basis? When do we start taking money from your IRA? Do we take it a little earlier? Perhaps we can take money from your bank accounts or your personal investment accounts where the dollars that come out pay less in, are subject to lesser tax than other accounts. We have to be thoughtful, but when we know where everything is and what everything is worth, that's where we become successful. And so if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, to get your house in order, to have an understanding of your entire financial life, so if God forbid something were to happen to you or your spouse, that the survivor actually knows where everything is and what everything is worth and how that money needs to be spent and used, it would be our honor to talk with you. Our phone number at the office is 978-531-8108. Like I said, if now is the time to get serious about your financial planning, I hope you'll give us a call. We're not in the office today. We're happy to schedule a free initial consultation for you. If you do call the phone number 978-531-8108, Jody will listen to your message. She'll reach out to you on Monday or Tuesday, or you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It arrives in your mailbox every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. Go to our website, freedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and if you want to write a little message to me, to Christian, it doesn't matter. We all get the message that comes through. We will be happy to respond to you. I promise you will respond within 24 hours. That's what we do. We want to stay in touch with you. We want you to be a part of the world where financial advice in a language you can understand is something that you're thinking about all the time. It's been a pleasure to have you with us on the show, Christian.
Thank you.
Thanks for being part of it. And I'm sure you're going to hear Christian plenty more often here on Dollars and Cents. We've got to get out of here. I got to make room for Scott Whitley. I'm sure he's got a whole bunch of great restaurant recommendations that you got to try out. And I know last week he had Daria's Cafe on the line. And I went over and visited. Fabulous food. It was wonderful. And we'll continue to visit lots of great restaurants in the area. Off to you, Scott. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
Prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.